thoughts that are maddening. Do I sit here and try to stand it? Or do I try to catch them red-handed? Do I trust some and get fooled by phoniness? Or do I trust nobody and live in loneliness? Cause I can't hold on when I'm stretched so thin. I make the right moves, but I'm lost within.
Welcome to episode 6 of Three Dudes News. We are out here on the porch yet again with my two compadres, Philip and Josh. And Josh is back from his journey.
Yes, nice journey in the mountains with the elk.
Yes. Yeah, I heard it was nice. Yes. It must be nice.
It was pretty nice, yes.
I got to get out of this town.
Yes, but, you probably should.
We got a good show for you today. We're going to discuss several compelling news arguments, right?
Yes, they are arguments.
And we will try to make them arguments.
And they are news.
They are news, definitely news.
Pretty recent news.
I'm sure almost all of them are very recent stories.
I think so.
Yeah.
So we want to hit it off with you, Philip.
All right, I'm going to take this one here. This is from the Associated Press, and this is Eric Holder to California pot smokers.
Who's Eric Holder?
Eric Holder would be the Attorney General of the United States. We will still lock you up.
That's what he said?
That's what he's saying.
To pot smokers.
To pot smokers in California, even if Proposition 19 passes.
Yeah.
With flying colors. We're still going to vigorously enforce the CSA, which would be the Controlled Substances Act, against the individuals and organizations that possess, manufacture, or distribute marijuana for recreational use.
Keyword being recreational use, because medical use in California is legal, right?
It is legal. But Proposition 19 would legalize it for recreational use.
Right. Okay.
But the government is being lenient as far as the medical purposes are concerned.
Because they don't know either way if it's actually any good for you or not.
Well, so, I'm sure it's not good for you.
I don't think the smoking of it would be good for you.
Yeah.
I disagree.
So you think it is good for you?
Well, I don't see how it's more harmful than alcohol.
Okay.
Okay, and basically, they're going to regulate it the same way, with the same types of laws. They're going to find ways to, test your impairment levels and things of that nature, just like they do with alcohol.
Correct. So they are going to investigate ways to ensure that you are on the drug.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not a danger to the public.
Sure.
Right. They're going to they'll test you if you get pulled over and they're suspected, say, being under the influence. You know, you can get pulled over and get a DWI.
Yes.
You know, for the marijuana.
So what would that be?
Or other substances.
What would what be?
DWI.
What would a DWI be, Mr. Brown?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Driving while intoxicated.
Driving while intoxicated.
Okay.
Yes.
That would be DWI.
Right.
Driving D while W intoxicated. I.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
just to clarify.
Yeah, so I think that they will need to find a way to monitor how much is in your system, if any. Like a breathalyzer. Because marijuana supposedly influences you in some kind of way. It either makes you slow or I don't know what it does,
well,
but
it would have to influence you in some kind of way, otherwise so
it wouldn't
many
be
damn
a
people
drug.
Wouldn't want it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
not codes.
But I don't think that they will ever nationwide legalize recreational use of marijuana until then. Until, you know, some sort of way of detecting it.
Until you're able to quantify it on
exactly,
the site.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
In there.
Exactly. Like a breathalyzer.
Right, exactly.
My guess would be a blood test, like a diabetic blood sugar test, or something similar to that.
That would actually work. Most definitely something to
but
that nature.
That brings up an interesting
THC content.
Yeah. That brings up an interesting point, though, because, you know, a DWI is not necessarily pertaining to alcohol. It pertains to other drugs. Like, how can you tell if somebody's on cocaine or not? You can't right then.
Right.
But you can suspect it based on his reaction or his or her reaction to the situation.
Well, there are telltale signs that you've been smoking marijuana as well.
True. True.
But they're not the same for all people.
Unless you're crying.
Yeah. But, like the abuse of... Well, yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, no, like we like we said
like last week or whatever.
In our previous show, the kid that was from school.
Stop making me laugh, Philip.
totally lost that one, but yeah. But I know
like,
where you're going.
Like the abuse of prescription medication is huge now.
Of course,
you know, and it's a big problem, and you don't necessarily know by looking at somebody or by studying someone's reaction whether or not they're on prescription drugs. You know, maybe the harder stuff like cocaine and heroin and, you know, acid or anything like that, you can definitely tell when somebody's on it. But, like, the lesser drugs, I don't think there's a way to...
Well, if you're on, like, a painkiller, like, what was it? Codeine or something.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to react differently to various situations.
Yeah.
You're going to seem kind of sluggish. You can definitely see that they're going to be kind of drowsy.
Yeah. But see, you know, driving under the influence cases where prescription drugs are usually, let's say you actually go to jail for being under the influence of prescription drug, even though you're not supposed to, usually in that case they found it on you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's really, that's another thing that's hard to quantify at this point.
Well, see, when in that case, you know, they're more apt to charge you than a DWI. Well, they'll probably charge you both.
Yeah, because you are driving.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So in this case here, we have a federal...
the Attorney General.
Yeah. Yes. The federal general attorney.
Saying that we are going to... We have federal laws against this. Yeah. So we're going to enforce it federally. So basically saying, you know, F you, California.
So who's going to actually enforce it? I mean, you got state law enforcement... Which is
state law enforcement would not enforce it because it would be a state law, so it would have to be federal officers
like the DEA,
which is kind of shitty. As far as I mean, if the state, you know, we allow states to make their own laws for certain things, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's kind of overstepping his
just a little bit here. He's making it into a bigger deal. Like we're going to just jump in there and. Take
beat,
over.
Beat the crap out of all the pot smokers in California that we catch for pot.
What I find interesting about this story is a couple paragraphs down. I'm going to read it for you. He also said that he being, you know, Eric Holder, that legalizing recreational marijuana in California would be a significant impediment to the government's joint efforts with state and local law enforcement to target drug traffickers who often distribute marijuana alongside cocaine and other drugs. Holder said the approval of this ballot measure would significantly undermine efforts to keep California communities safe. Now, if the federal government says that they're going to crack down on marijuana, how can he tell the state and local law enforcement to help him?
He can't.
Exactly.
He can say that if you don't, my enforcement people, which would be the
will
federals, will.
Yeah.
So either you're going to do it or we will, is basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not his place. I mean, he can. He can say this, but it really shouldn't be his place to say this.
He can make a suggestion.
I mean, I agree with targeting drug traffickers.
That's like a suggestion with a baton to it.
I know.
Yeah. It's not necessarily exactly. A suggestion.
Eat this or I hit you in the head.
Yeah.
I think they should target drug traffickers, but you know, your recreational user... I mean, he's not going to hurt anybody.
Only trafficking out of the state, right? Where the federal would be concerned.
Yeah.
Into or out of the state. Yeah. As long as they keep it contained in the state, it's their freaking problem.
Exactly.
Leave them the hell alone. Yeah. Let them deal with their own crap.
I mean, what if the government sold marijuana? Or taxed it like cigarettes and alcohol?
It's a good possibility. As long as they have control over the supply of it,
yeah.
They can make a lot of money.
Exactly. Right.
They would make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, and the federal government has actually had a program at one point in time where they actually gave, they had their own farm where they grew medicinal marijuana, and they gave it to some of the most sick people in the world,
okay,
or in the United States, and a lifetime supply. They would send them as much as they want, and when they terminated the program, there were still people enrolled, right? So they're still... sending some of these people government medicinal marijuana,
through the mail.
In care packs, through the mail, yeah. Because it's a federal package.
Oh, wow.
So, leave California the hell alone. If they want to do their own thing, that's fine. But if you want to patrol their borders and make sure the shit doesn't go in or out, then that's fine, too. But this is their rodeo.
Yeah. And again, they won't legalize it until there's ways to tell whether or not you're on it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So next topic?
Next topic.
Yum.
What do you got, Josh?
All right. We got some, I believe, some branding of a disease, which to sell a cure for.
What's branding of a disease?
Well, when you, well, let's give a good example. Let's say you want to sell piano. You are a piano salesman, all right?
Okay, I sell pianos.
And you don't have a lot of demand for it because nobody wants a piano at the moment.
Okay.
Because it's not a holiday.
Exactly. Right. So you make demand by talking to some people and getting music rooms to be popular.
Okay. And what does everybody want in a music room?
A piano or some type of music device.
Yes. So then I would sell pianos.
Yes, you'll be selling pianos like crazy.
Yeah.
Out the ass.
So instead of advertising that I sell pianos, I should put out there that a music room is a good idea.
Yes, exactly. And this comes from Edward Bernays, who wrote the book Propaganda back in 1928.
Okay, so how would this pertain to a disease?
Well, usually what you do, if you want to use this type of marketing idea, you create a disease that is already happening. Well, it's not really a disease. It's a normal event.
And call it a disease.
One good thing I believe Philip mentioned before was Listerine and their use of bad...
Halitosis.
Halitosis, yes.
Yes.
The what was it?
What the hell is halitosis?
Listerine was a floor... a sterilization product.
Yeah.
For like...
cleaning floors and stuff.
Cleaning floors and like operating rooms and stuff before it became a mouthwash.
Really?
Yeah, in order to change it over to a mouthwash, they came up with halitosis.
Basically bad breath.
Yeah, the medical bad breath disease.
Exactly. And they sold Listerine to people now. So,
but see, that's not like a prescription.
No, but it covers the same marketing scheme. And on the prescription world, we have a lot of things such as...
panic disorder.
Yep, and ADHD.
Reflux disease, erectile dysfunction, reckless leg syndrome, and bipolar disorder.
Yep. See, the social anxiety disorder, which many people prior to this actual vacation would call it shyness.
Yeah.
So, many of these things have been around forever, and they're just marketing names for it so you can sell drugs for it.
Yes. So,
we got AstraZeneca, which is Prilosec. You know, they make Prilosec and Nexium.
Yes.
Right? Which is for heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has had heartburn before, right?
Yes.
And,
so if you have heartburn too much...
Yeah, they're going to give you this drug. You're going to want it.
And say you're diagnosed with what?
Acid reflux. It's gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Reflux disease,
yes.
Which is basically chronic heartburn.
Yep.
Yes.
That's basically it.
And I mean, chronic is kind of a open-ended word.
Well, you can have chronic anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, but I'm saying, you know, you have chronic heartburn, which means you have heartburn
all the time.
Often.
Yes.
A lot.
Right. It comes back.
Yeah. So I eat tacos every day. I have heartburn every day.
Yeah.
Which is probably why you have...
heartburn.
Yes. So you're saying basically that they've created diseases in order to sell products that they came up with.
Yep, basically, yes. And they are very dangerous because they haven't been really fully tested.
Here's a little fact about the social anxiety in Paxil.
Right.
When the first social anxiety disorder first came about, he said there were only about 50 references to a social anxiety disorder in the press. But in 1999, during the PR campaign for Prilosec, there were over 1 billion references.
You mean for Paxil?
Paxil, yeah, sorry, not
yeah.
Prilosec.
Yeah, Prilosec.
All these drugs sound the same.
That's absolutely true. You know what scares me about some drugs like these is some of these side effects that you hear of from some of these things?
Let's take Paxil for example.
For example, let's see. Important information about Paxil. You may have thoughts about suicide when you first start taking an antidepressant such as Paxil. Now... let me ask you this. Why would I want to take an antidepressant that makes me want to kill myself?
That's kind of a bit extreme, isn't it?
If I'm already depressed enough to want to kill myself, so they put me on medication, I'm going to have to go through a phase where I want to kill myself even more.
I mean, how is that a legitimate side effect?
Apparently somebody has done it at least once.
My God.
Right. It
in a controlled environment.
All it has to be is at least once. Somebody at the freaking, whoever created Paxil, AstraZeneca or whatever, in the controlled environment where they were testing it,
they gave it to a monkey. They gave it to a monkey, and the monkey thought up that I should kill myself. I'm going to hang myself from the bars of this cage.
My gosh,
that's probably not what really.
So it says, more in the story about Detrol.
Yeah, Detrol.
It can make elderly people delirious and may cause memory problems.
Well, elderly people have memory problems to begin with, usually. But delirious, that's a bit much. That's kind of crazy.
But, I mean, Detrol is for overactive bladder.
Yes, it is.
Which happens in most elderly people.
That is true. So they're going to take the medication.
Yes. More elderly people are going to be taking Detrol than younger people.
Oh, yeah. And causing more memory problems?
Mm. And more deliriousm, I guess that's the word.
I guess.
Deliriousness.
Yes, let's go with deliriousness.
Deliriousnessism.
Let's go with that one. I think that one's better.
Paxil is associated with sexual dysfunction and dependence. It also carries a black box warning for suicide in children and adolescents.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They should do a little more research on their drugs and stop making things
well,
up.
See, I don't think they should do more research. I think that they should do less promotion.
Hey, yes, less promotion.
For example, our country is one of the... You know, one of the largest income and growth countries in the world, right?
Yes.
We have lots of money.
I believe it's mostly pharmaceuticals.
We're one of the only countries in the world that allows pharmaceutical companies to market directly to the public.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's wrong.
Because, like, I could be sitting watching a commercial for, let's say...
Insight.
Insight, yeah. This is go for Insight, sure.
Okay, say I'm watching a commercial for Insight. And that puts the idea
on the Golf Channel
in my head that I might have this problem. What's
erectile dysfunction?
Oh, yeah.
Damn! Why you got to put erectile dysfunction on me? I didn't even know what that's for.
It
what
just came up. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Let's just say.
He came up with that one. That
let's just say.
I saw on the Golf Channel the other day. All right.
let's just say
I have a problem.
Mike
could possibly have. Well, let's not use this for an example.
Okay. Let's go for Detrol. Detrol.
Okay. Say I pee my pants.
Right,
a
Detrol.
Lot.
I pee his pants a
or
lot.
Or you make runs to the bathroom.
Well, that's a better situation. Say I, by watching this commercial, feel like I go to the bathroom too much. All I have to do is go to the doctor and say, hey, I think I go to the bathroom too much. Oh, I also saw this commercial for Detrol. Boom, you got a prescription.
Pharmaceutical company, boom, makes shitloads of money.
Yes, tons of money.
And I don't know how long the prescriptions for Detrol last, but I mean, it could last for the rest of your life. It could be something that
exactly.
You could be taking forever.
And I mean, a lot of these drugs have, you know, side effects of being addicted to them.
Right. Well, here's one of the things, like Detrol, if you experience any of the following symptoms, call your doctor immediately. Difficulty urinating, right?
So okay.
It gets harder for you to urinate, so you have to push harder, right? So if you don't take the Detrol, then you're going to piss yourself more.
Yes.
Because you don't have to, you know.
That could be a prostate issue, actually.
The muscles are not working the same.
So it's just a vicious cycle of the pharmaceutical company making money and you going through hell.
It's exactly the same thing with the acid reflux medications. I mean, I'm on Zegrid, right?
Okay.
And Zegrid reduces the level of acid in your body, right?
Yes.
Well, your body wants to have
something.
Right. It wants to have a particular amount of acid in there, okay?
Yep.
So you start taking these medications.
Screws with your biomechanical functions.
Right. So you start producing more acid to overcompensate for the Zegrid, so you have to keep taking it. What kind of crap is that?
That's ridiculous.
That's horrible.
A lot of these drugs are actually side things actually they found while researching other stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, these pharmaceutical companies make way too much money, and all they want to do is make more money. They don't care about their patients. You know, they don't care about what their, you know, particular drug will do to somebody.
To a pharmaceutical company, a good patient is a sick patient.
Yeah.
Yep. What was that BBC show thing that we... I was like, few years back about these, the drugs and their use? I can't remember what the name of it was.
I don't remember, man, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Basically, drugs are poison, regardless of what they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Because it's not something that your body naturally produces, so you can't be deficient in it,
yep.
Right?
But, you know, they make those advertisements look so good and make it sound so good about how I can, you know, treat my overactive bladder and being all nice and happy. And then right at the end, you know, they got,
you
some,
may die.
They got some fast-talking person telling you that you may die from it.
Right, which is usually the fastest thing that you'll ever hear.
Yeah.
And you won't understand any of it.
And a lot of times, since they put it at the end... You're already thinking about getting it.
Exactly.
So you're already in the process of, you know, purchasing and being
so
a...
So what if they brought their advertisements with the side effects first?
People probably just not listen.
Exactly.
You would change the channel.
Yeah.
You'd be like, so some of the side effects of Detrol LA are that you could possibly kill yourself.
But Detrol can cure overactive bladder.
That's right.
Nobody heard of that.
Before taking Detrol LA, tell your doctor and pharmacist if you're allergic to someone or other medications.
Or shellfish.
Tell your doctor and pharmacist what prescription and non-prescription medications you're taking, especially chlorine.
Okay. So, basically, we want to say to all the prescription drug companies out there, if any are listening, which I doubt it.
Not now, anyway.
yeah. To stop... With all the drugs. There's too many drugs out there.
I think we shouldn't be allowed to market to directly to consumers.
Yeah.
I think the doctor needs to know what the medication is, and the
yeah.
doctor can tell you what
yes.
freaking medication you need to take.
Yes, based on your examination.
Yeah.
That's how every other company our country works, right?
Right.
So what do we got next? SeaWorld attack.
Oh, yes. SeaWorld.
So apparently a trainer... Don Brancho,
I believe that's how you pronounce it,
got killed, unfortunately, by a killer whale in a demonstration. You know how SeaWorld does
yeah.
those demonstrations. Well, a family was witnessing it. Suzanne and Todd
Connell,
and their family was watching this presentation by SeaWorld and their kids. And they were videotaping it. And it says that they were 30 feet from where the
from
incident happened. The family shot home video just moments before the trainer's death. And now the family is suing SeaWorld Orlando for emotional trauma from this incident. Because their son, you know, apparently looked... at the trainer and noticed a look in her eye that she was about to die and she was swimming for her life and the kids, you know, the kid cried so profoundly that his face turned red and then a shade of blue, they said. And now they're suing, you know, SeaWorld Orlando for emotional trauma. This is a bunch of BS.
Well,
I think
for one, it's a wild animal. All right, stuff like this happens.
Yes,
at zoos, wherever. So,
and it's a kid. He's lucky if this is the worst thing he ever sees in his life.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's just a factor of me growing up the way I did, but I would kind of think something like this is cool. You know, I'd go home to my friends and be like, "Dude, you should have saw what happened at SeaWorld when I was down there. You know, this killer whale killed its trainer." You know,
right.
It was crazy.
Right. It would be something to talk about. But,
yes.
I mean, it still sucks that she died.
Exactly.
I blame Disney.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's the adult in us.
Right, of course.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, a kid, like, if I was a kid watching this, I would, you know, in my adolescence, think that it was kind of cool.
Right.
Well, I partially blame, you know, the TV programs for that one. Because
yeah. If
you look at the programs for, like, kids and everything nowadays,
we're supposed to think killer whales don't kill people.
Yeah.
Well, they're emotionally soft. I mean, they're basically like for the boys. All right, they don't have a lot of action and, you know, a lot of, and, you know, testosterone type level stuff like we used to have back in the day.
Right, and we don't teach kids to deal with these kinds of feelings.
Yeah,
anymore.
It's all about feelings and being
nice.
Well,
listen to this. In the Connell's lawsuit, they claim Branchu made a deep, positive impression during her performance at the Dine with Shamu event that they were attending. The lawsuit claims that emotional connection was created even more stress after witnessing the trainer's death.
So within 30 seconds, they made an emotional connection between the kid exactly. and the trainer.
Yeah, somebody needs to punch that kid in the head.
Yeah.
Don't bring the kid around
me. What's the kid having all these deep positive impressions for?
I think believe that's a deep negative impression that his parents have left in yeah. the back of his head.
Too much TV.
Yeah.
No, it's probably the kid's parents are probably leading him. You know what I'm saying? Leading him to make these statements, you know, like saying, you know, didn't you feel really, really bad when the trainer died?
Well, of yeah. course. You know? Yeah. The trainer died.
Well, I mean, it sounds like the Connells are looking for a payday, an easy payday.
Well, I don't know about easy, but yes, they're looking yeah. for some money.
It goes on to say, SeaWorld's motion to dismiss said that the Connells' lawsuit could mean a flood of similar cases. If a cause for action existed, this is a quote, if a cause for action existed here, it would exist for thousands of football fans who witnessed the death of a player due to a helmet alleged to be negligently designed. The motion said, it would exist for thousands of fans who see a singer collapse at a concert due to alleged negligent over-medication. So basically they're saying that this kind of stuff happens occasionally. You know, people witness accidents. And that if this case goes through, that it could open the door for all kinds of different cases.
Right, it would set a precedent. It's
yes.
not a good precedent.
Like when Joe Theismann, I don't know if y'all know who he is. He's a professional quarterback back in the day. And, you know, there was this big, story about him. He was young and he was a really, really good quarterback. He played for the Redskins. And early in his career, he was playing against the Giants, and he drew back, and Lawrence Taylor, he's a defensive end, came running on his blind side and tackled him and broke his leg. A compound fracture. Mm. This was live on ESPN. Thousands of people saw it. You know, ended his career. And you don't hear anybody in that era, you know, suing the NFL or suing ESPN for broadcasting this.
Right.
You know? I mean, and it was a very traumatic injury. I mean, you can see it on YouTube. And, I mean, dude just cracks his leg and it just folds over. And
what about Michael Jackson and his hair catching on fire back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about Dale Earnhardt?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's a whole nother case.
That was on live television.
To this, yeah. That would be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people
and, I mean,
would be suing for that.
NASCAR,
it's
yes.
not like, you know, the killer whale ate this person. It just, the person drowned.
Right.
Underwater, and I'm sure that nobody saw it. I mean, those tanks are huge.
Yep.
You know, they're very deep. They contain a lot of water. You know, I doubt somebody could see all the way down to the bottom that this person was actually dying.
Even if they did, the kid will see worse crap on the freaking 6 o'clock morning news.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, he needs to man up and deal with it.
Yeah.
His parents, I mean, he could be like seven years old, and I just told him, man up. And Santa Claus isn't real either. No, shut up.
And with all the examples we just said, you know, the SeaWorld lawyers, you know, brought this up, that these cases that we were talking about, like the Dale Earnhardt and the Joe Theismann, have even more merit because, you know, people follow these, you know, these people because, you know, they're fans. You know, they obsess about some of these athletes and performers and stuff.
And these are things that happen season after
yes,
season.
Yes, and they follow season. Them and follow them. As opposed to this, which was a one-time encounter during a lunch show.
Right.
You know, it's a one-time deal. I'm sure right. there's not that many fans of, I can't mention this, I can't pronounce this name of this whale, Tilikum. I don't know. T-I-L-I-K-U-M.
Tilikum.
But that was the name of the whale.
Right.
I'm sure there's not that many fans for this whale out there.
Right. Even if there were that many fans for the whale, there's not that many fans for the trainer because, you know, they can have
yeah.
a different trainer every show.
Yeah. I never heard of that whale before.
Me neither, but
if it was Shamu, it would be different.
But apparently it just gave birth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just gave birth to a baby.
That's okay. Awesome. They got another trainer killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is how you do it. Make sure you hold on tight.
But yeah, I think that this case will be thrown out.
We hope it is.
I hope it is.
Yeah.
That if it does go to court, I really, really hope, and I seriously doubt that the Connells will get any money out of it.
You know what really sucks about this podcast so far?
What's that?
The fact that we haven't really disagreed on anything.
True. True, but we're saying how we feel it.
That's right.
Yep.
So, on to the next story.
Kill the whale.
Don't kill the whale. Yes.
Don't kill Free
Willy. It's a man-eater.
Don't kill Free Willy. That was a good movie, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to the next story from the Associated Press. A judge has refused to dismiss a lawsuit against J.K. Rowling, saying, a British judge refused to dismiss a plagiarism lawsuit against the Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling on Thursday, saying claims that the best-selling author stole ideas from an obscure fantasy book should be considered at a proper hearing. So, basically what's going on here is that a fellow by the name of Jacobs wrote a book in 1987 called The Adventures of Wily or Willy the Wizard.
Yes.
I think it's Willy.
Number one, Livid Land. Okay? And his estate has gone to his son, apparently.
Okay, so Jacobs is dead.
Yeah. Right, Jacobs
He's
is
97.
Dead. He died in 97.
Died in London in 97, and now the estate has gone to his son, and his son sees a striking similarity between some of the things in his father's book and J.K. Rowling's new, very successful book.
The Goblet of Fire.
The Goblet of Fire. So, he sees all this and, you know, he thinks, you know, this isn't right.
That is plagiarism.
It's plagiarism, so I'm going to take it to court, right?
Yeah.
And then J.K. Rowling said, well, no, I mean, these ideas came to me in 1990 when I was on a train, you know.
That's when she first got the idea for Harry Potter, right?
First
right.
got the idea for Harry Potter. And, you know, and she didn't hear about these books until 2004.
Yeah.
So how did she plagiarize something from something she didn't know about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, is that it's just word. That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
So you can always say whatever.
Right. So the justice has ruled that the claims could be founded somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
Although he described it as being improbable.
Yeah.
So he thinks there's little chance for success in this, but he's going to allow it.
But, I mean, the British judge refused to dismiss this.
Right. So he's saying that if there's enough evidence brought forward, it's possible that I could be convinced.
So it is going to court.
It is going to court.
Well, I mean, this I think is just another example of somebody trying to get a buck. You know, because we all know that J.K. Rowling is a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean, this person, I don't think they made billions off of Willy the Wizard.
Well, I never heard of it, so.
Me neither.
Yeah, and it was written in 1987. There wasn't an Amazon back then. So wasn't, you know, we didn't get wide distribution of books back then.
So, yeah, I think this person's looking for a payday, even though he inherited his father's estate. You know, I think that this would have more, you know, substantial backing if it was actually Adrian Jacobs himself.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But this is just stupid.
Yeah, so if the claims proceed, then J.K. Rowling and Bloomsbury would be required to explain how the similarities between the two works came about, when to date there has been a refusal to disclose key manuscripts and notebooks.
Hmm.
Yeah, to be completely honest, I never read any of the Harry Potter stuff, so I don't know what the stories are actually, how they're written, how they're actually written in, like, it's like a Greek tragedy or something like that, if it's in that format or not, but you could actually go back pretty far and say, well, this is a lot like Homer and the Odyssey.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard when you're talking about a medium of art.
Right, especially fiction.
Yes.
Right, because fiction's been around for a long time. There aren't that many original ideas.
Yeah.
You know,
and art is something that's perceived.
Right.
You know, it's not like black and white. You know, it's not just strictly what it is. You know, it's how it's interpreted.
So can two people, different people, perceive a piece of art the same way?
Yes.
Exactly. Of course they can.
I see a piece of wood.
Thus, two people can write the same book.
Well, they can write a book with similarities.
Similarities. Right? Yeah, that's what I meant by that.
Yeah, similar stories. Similar
how about stories. This? Lord of the Rings, all
right? Right.
Has a wizard.
Has a wizard.
Harry Potter. Has a wizard.
Harry Potter is a wizard.
Right.
Right.
Both have wizards.
The Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter both have like a gray wizard with the long beard and
old guy.
Fictional characters.
There's some similarities right there.
But that's not close enough because the major story behind those two is different.
Yeah.
So where's the pudding on this one that says that, you know, these two stories are that similar? I'd like to hear some evidence of what he's saying exactly.
It says a one-day hearing will be scheduled to consider the case. Paul Allen, the trustee of Jacob's estate, is ordered to pay money into court as a security for the costs of the case. What do you think of that?
Well, that means he's going to put money down saying that I have a case.
Yeah.
He's going to put money down saying that I've already paid the court to hear these cases, or this case.
Yeah.
That to me sounds like he has at least a chance on his side, anyway.
Or that he's desperate.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah. Ludicrousness.
Yeah.
Yes.
But not only is this guy suing J.K. Rowling, but the Bloomsbury...
The publishers, yeah.
Publisher.
Right, and how the crap would they know if she's not telling them, you know what I'm saying? Like, if she stole it from someone...
I mean, unless...
Well, sometimes I have editors that look over everything.
That's true.
Well, I mean, unless J.K. Rowling went to Bloomsbury before, when she was first came up with the book in 1990... You know, I don't know.
Right.
That's okay.
I don't know why I said that, because the book was written in 1987, before that.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter much there, but...
Yeah. So, I don't think the case is going to... I don't think he's going to win.
No, I don't think it's a strong enough case.
Yeah, because, I mean, they can... I mean, at this point, the publishing company and J.K. Rowling have enough money to sweep it under the table anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's...
I mean, even if there was any chance of minor plagiarism... I mean, the publishing company could just be like, okay, well, we'll just settle this out of court. Here's, a lump sum of money to shut up.
Ooh, you have Willie in there seven times.
Here is an interesting thought process on this. So the estate is in the son's name now,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
So he owns all of the rights to the book, The Adventures of Willie the Wizard, number one, Livid Land, and all of the Willie the Wizard series, right?
Yeah, whatever that may be.
So... what's he getting out of this right now at this moment?
Oh, he's getting some talk time.
Crap tons of free publicity.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right? So he's getting money from this.
Well, he's getting...
No, he will, because people are going to go buy this book because they're going to want to read it and see if
the differences.
Similar.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to take long to read it, because apparently it's only 16 pages.
Oh.
All right.
Well, never mind.
I'm done.
But people will buy lots of copies of it because it's easy.
Yeah.
This is like what were they called? The golden back books that we had when we were kids?
What?
The ones that had the golden spine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know what they're actually...
Were they like classics or something?
Well, they were, but they were kids' books,
yeah.
Right? And they had a gold embroidered spine.
I don't know.
And they have like little stories from like fairy tales and whatnot in it and stuff.
Yeah.
That was one Three Little Pigs thing in there, I remember, like forever ago.
I'll find out and then it'll come to me later.
All right.
Okay. So I think we beat this topic to death.
Yes, I'm pretty sure we have.
Adrian Jacobs, stop suing people.
Stop suing people. Yes.
Little Golden Books.
Little Golden Books, what do you got?
That's what they're called.
That's what they're called. Nothing special, huh?
nothing but Little Golden Books.
All right.
All right, so Josh.
Yeah, so if you read USA Today, you probably have noticed that some schools have enforced year-round conduct rules. In New Jersey, South Carolina, Indiana, all right? Now, most of these pertain to athletes that are on the school teams and everything for extracurricular activities.
Yes.
When they're not in school and they wear their jerseys or something and they...
represent the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they're representing the school, outside school, and they do something, I don't know, in most cases, they'll be like going into a party where there's alcohol involved and there's underage drinking.
Yes.
Or posting some weird pictures of, like, I don't know, sexual activity or something.
So these schools are enforcing conduct from their students who participate in extracurricular activities year-round, regardless if the school is being represented or not?
In most cases, it's when the school is actually being represented.
Okay.
In some cases, and it depends on the district and how strict they are.
Yes.
In a few cases, there have been some students that aren't wearing any jersey or letter jackets or whatever, and they have been brought in.
But they were well-recognized students from the...
Well, they were recognizable.
Right.
Well, there's one case that I got to looking up quite extensively. It involves the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. It's in Indiana. And this case involves discipline placed on two female volleyball players in the Smith Green County Schools last year after they were accused of posting sexually suggestive photos on social networking sites during summer vacation. Well, when I read this, I was like, well, I want to know more about this.
Right, yeah, because it's something unusual.
Yeah. So I read on to find out that these girls were kicked off for the entire year of their school year. And that in efforts to reduce their, I guess, sentence, or whatever you want to call it, to 25% of the school year, listen to what these girls had to do.
Okay.
They had to apologize to an all-male coaches board and undergo sexual addiction counseling.
That's a bit much for just posting some pictures.
What exactly were the photos suggesting?
And how did they know?
Okay. Well, the pictures were first allegedly posted on MySpace.
Okay,
MySpace. But actually, that was wrong. They were posted on Facebook. And it was these girls were at a sleepover, and they were taking pictures of each other posed in lingerie, and they were holding penis-shaped suckers.
But like, in detail? Penis-shaped suckers?
Well, I don't know. I mean... Well,
I'm sure they were... I mean, they were obviously penis-shaped.
Well, you can
suckers.
Say things are penis-shaped.
True.
No, they didn't say... But they didn't say phallic-shaped. They said penis.
Well, actually, they did say phallic-shaped.
Oh, they did say phallic-shaped?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did say phallic-shaped.
Then it could be just about anything.
Yeah. That's just my wording, penis-shaped.
Right.
I have a stick. I'm holding it in my hand.
But, you know, they got those gag gifts out there.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I'm pretty sure it looks like a penis.
Well, we can assume that, but you really don't know.
These girls weren't wearing any kind of identification that said that they were from Smith Green Schools, or they didn't say anything about Smith Green Schools. A parent had brought this up to the principal, and the principal showed the coach, and the coach is the one who brought up all these allegations.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And kicked them off the team.
Now, we don't know what their... how... they perform on the team, do we? Like, if they were, like, awesome players or something?
No, it doesn't say.
Okay.
But Eric Weber, attorney for the Smith Green Schools, says such policies can be enforced year-round because those representing the school in any kind of uniform can be held to higher standards.
But the key in that sentence
uniform.
Is uniform.
Yeah.
And they weren't wearing any uniform.
It says any kind of uniform.
Right, but they're going to say lingerie is a uniform, so you might as well just be naked the whole time.
Hey. Well, that's even, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But that's not a uniform.
Yeah.
They were not representing the school.
Unless that lingerie comes strictly from the school system.
Which the school is representing itself poorly in that manner.
But
so.
Weber goes on to say, if they don't like the rules, they don't have to play.
You know what I say? I say, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Because they weren't doing anything wrong.
I mean, they might be doing something morally wrong.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with the school.
Right, absolutely.
You have for this to actually have any effect on the school, you have to have people that actually know these people.
Maybe like their parents?
Well, that's parents, but...
Their parents should be doing the disciplining.
Yeah.
But this is college, right?
No, that's high school.
Okay, this one's high school.
This is high school.
Yeah.
Okay.
All these cases that they're talking about is high school.
I got you. So this is the parents' fault then.
Yeah.
Yes.
These aren't adults.
Yes.
They should be looked after.
Absolutely.
This is ridiculous.
But you know what? So, yeah.
This is the school system trying to get further into the homes.
Right. Which they... Well, they've already tried that and failed miserably with the freaking spy laptops.
Well, that's a different case, but
I know. But, you know, I'm just saying. You know, keep your... government ass out of my house. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's, you know, the school system is like semi-government. So.
That's what I'm saying. It's governed by itself.
Yeah.
Right? And higher boards. So it's like government. So yeah. Keep that shit out of my house.
It's like public government.
I'm going to take care of my kids.
But there's this attorney, Matt Wolf. He is a attorney in Haydenfield, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And he's representing a teenager who lost extracurricular privileges because of an underage drinking charge. And he says that schools are crossing the boundary of what they're authorized to do and crossing into the realm of family. That's unconstitutional. What do you think?
I believe that's unconstitutional.
I agree with you on that
one. I think that's horseshit.
Yeah.
You know, my home, I mean, if I'm not breaking the law in my house is my house.
Yeah.
My rules, my house, you know.
That's usually how it works.
I mean, you cannot tell a student, which is required by state law to go to school, what they can do when they're not in school.
Right.
Whether or not they're representing the school during the school year or not.
Yeah, that's true.
And that has nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Right. I mean, but they can say, you know, you've done something to represent the school poorly because you were wearing a uniform or a jersey or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Don't do that again.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can see where the schools might get some, you know, negative looks upon this because, you know, these two girls that were on the volleyball team, you know, the next game that they go to, you know, people on the sidelines or other parents are like, oh, those are those two girls that were sucking on the penis suckers.
Right, but so they're looking after the girls in their own way.
Yeah.
But
still. You still have to know them. I mean, you can't say, oh, this is at school.
Yeah.
But the school has no liability in this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not, if the police come beating on somebody's door, it's not going to be the freaking school. It's going to be the parents.
Yeah.
And they're going to go to court, and they'll go to jail for underage drinking. You know, letting it happen.
Yeah.
So, this is bullshit.
Yeah, the schools, I mean, I could maybe understand this a little bit better if it was a private school.
Right, but these are all public.
But,
so.
Right, but then they can kick you out and put you to a public school.
Exactly.
And that's fine.
But public schools, I mean, whose business is it? The parents,
right.
Not the school.
Only the parents' business.
Only.
So, I have something penis-shaped for Mr. Weber to...
to suck on?
To suck on.
Oh.
Wow.
That's an interesting comment there. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, let's move on.
Yes, let's move on to the next one.
So, who around this table has heard about the Chilean miners?
Oh, yes.
Who hasn't heard about the
Chilean
miners? I believe it was one of our first stories, actually.
Yes, it was. Well, it's come up again. Just because we live in Memphis. But apparently, one of the Chilean miners, Mr. Edison Pineda Valero,
something like that.
Well, he's a big fan of Elvis.
Yeah.
And he is now invited to visit Graceland in good old Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
But how this came about was the miner... He's a self-described Elvis Presley fan. He sent a request for Presley's music to be sent down to the mine while he was trapped underground. There, he played Presley's music and kept spirits up by organizing sing-alongs with the 32 other miners. And he also, you know, did some jogging to Elvis's music.
Yeah.
And apparently he enjoyed it very much. He not only did he request music, he requested a picture of Elvis. I don't know if he has some kind of attachment to Elvis.
I really have. It could be.
I think he's just a fan of his music. A lot of people are. But Elvis Presley Enterprises has announced that it would like to invite him to Presley's former home. They quote, "Graceland would like to welcome home Edison Pina, and along with the Memphis Convention and Visitors Bureau, has extended a special invitation for him and a loved one to visit Elvis's home in Memphis." I think he might be disappointed.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one.
Woohoo for free publicity!
Yeah.
Yay!
Say, welcome, Chilean miner, to Memphis.
I mean, I think they did the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it wasn't like Graceland... Or the Memphis Convention, you know, brought this about. Brought this about. You know, he wanted to have Elvis's music brought down there.
Oh yeah, right.
And when Graceland knew about it, they were like, "Hey, well,
that's cool.
Why don't you come visit Memphis?"
Yeah, now, it's a good thing that they're doing this.
Yeah,
it's just he might be a bit disappointed when he shows up. That's so all.
For those of you who don't know anything about Graceland, it's in a very, very, very bad part of town.
It's very rough.
It's very ghetto.
That's rough.
There's a lot of crime in that area.
A lot of crime.
And it's not a good place to be. I mean, even for, you know, visitors for the area, I'm surprised that there's no kind of, you know, something that the... that Graceland puts out to prevent...
Oh, I mean like security detail or something like that?
Yeah, there's nothing like that down there. I mean, this place is right in the middle of South Memphis.
Right, and, you know, what's funny is that it's right down the street from most people in Memphis, and you can ask about... say you ask 10 people from Memphis on a given day, how many of them have been to Graceland? Maybe 8.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 haven't.
Yeah.
Maybe two
well,
have been.
Well, no, I don't know about that. A lot of people have been down there.
It depends on the era, right?
Yeah.
How old they are.
Yeah.
Because most of the younger people really haven't.
I mean, have any of y'all been?
I've been past it.
Have you been to the museum or the house?
No, I have not.
No.
Okay, me neither. So that's 3 people right there that haven't been there. I mean, we've all obviously been by there.
Yeah, been in the area. Yeah.
But it's not a good place to ask a Chilean miner to come visit.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, he could visit other areas of Memphis and might be a little more interested in some things.
I mean, Sun Studios, maybe?
Yes.
Elvis recorded there.
He'll probably enjoy that one
quite
a bit.
That's in a less crime, you know, part of town.
You might see some homeless people.
Maybe Stax as well.
No. Stax is in a very bad part of town.
I like the Stax Museum.
Have you been there?
Yeah,
I've done. Do you like the museum itself, or?
Yeah, I don't necessarily like the area of town.
No, the area of town is really bad.
Yeah, I've done some alarm installation stuff near Stax. Yeah. Actually at Stax.
Now the museum is actually very nice.
Yeah, it is.
Since
quite
they
nice.
Renovated it,
yeah,
it's very nice.
But the. No, it's not good.
No. But, I mean, that's happening to a lot of places in Memphis, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's about 90% of Memphis, I believe.
I wouldn't go that far.
Not that far, 80?
I wouldn't go that much. I'd probably say 50.
60-40.
60-40.
So, Josh, how do you feel about having a Chilean miner in Memphis?
That'd be great. He just may not be, you know, excited about it when he gets here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe he's that big a fan. There are some people that go down there and just don't care about the crime. You know, they love Elvis too much to care.
Yeah,
about
that's
it.
True. I might be this, yeah, you know, just like this. So.
Either that, or, you know, he could go down there and just love the crap out of that, and then go back and say, "Guys, that area town that place is in, that's worse than some of the places we got down here."
I'd rather go back in the mine.
Well, I've recently seen some news footage of some of these miners' homes. And they're nothing to brag about. I mean,
right?
I mean, they're basically a concrete box for a house. I mean, it's very small. They're lined up next to each other. You know, dirt roads. You know, it's pretty bad.
It reminds me of college.
Okay.
Oh, it does. concrete walls. dirt in the hallway. Golf balls flying down the hallway. People sliding down bed mattresses and whatnot, and a lot of crazy kidnappings and tossing to the women's bathroom.
Kidnappings.
Yeah. So I hope he's not disappointed.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage, actually.
But it's good that they just now said that I think 31 of the miners are out of the hospital now and are going to spend tonight in their own bed. So that's good.
I bet
that. And it's amazing how quickly they got them out of there.
I know.
Because the first news story that we talked about, we said it was going to be more around Christmas time.
Right.
And, you know, here we are in October, and they've already got them out.
Yeah, they did a really good job. They had, like, 3 different teams working on that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It's a very good thing.
But I also heard that the way that they were trying to get people to know that they were down there was they split up in two groups, and one of the groups was going to try to crawl through the ventilation shafts to get out and warn, you know, the other people.
Right.
Well, that obviously failed because the ventilation shafts shortly caved in after, you know, the first cave-in.
Right.
Well, then they got this idea of burning tires down there in the mm-hmm. mine to have the smoke,
right,
you know, rise up, and maybe they get a sign there. And then when that didn't work, they chose to use dynamite.
Yes, I would
try to make a loud enough noise so people would hear them.
I would have gone with that one as my second option.
But you know, they were down there 17 days before anybody knew about it.
Yeah.
That is amazing right there.
Yeah. But I hope this guy enjoys himself in Memphis if he decides to come. I doubt it.
Right. And, you know, and we welcome him to come.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Make your own opinions.
But, I mean, I think that they might be skewing this Chilean miner deal into a big, big, you know, media opportunity. Because apparently Spike TV wants to make a show about miners.
Oh,
and how hard of a life they have, and
well, they do.
You know, the whole world has been watching this,
right? And the interest in that is what drives companies to make television shows about that.
But how are you going to make money off of somebody else's tragedy?
Well, you're talking about morally.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't have morals.
A lot of people these days don't.
Well, you have to avert that whenever you try to get into that type of business.
Yeah.
So. You know, like, something similar to that is, like, you know, the deadliest catch, you know, the crab fishing
thing. Yeah.
You know, it's a deadly job. It's the deadliest job that we do in the United States, as far as we know, right?
Well, as far as the show says.
Well, actually, it was on list. It was, the top five deadliest jobs you can possibly have in the United States.
So, and that draws attention because it's something that not everyone can do because you can die doing it.
Yeah.
Easily.
Easily, yeah, very easily.
Well, I mean, they're paid well.
Right.
Yes, they are paid very well.
And we don't know if these miners
No, they were not paid very well.
So. But, I mean, you know, that comes with the country that they're in, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that American miners, you know, get paid considerably amount more than the Chilean miners.
Well, we have unions and everything.
Yeah.
Right. We will get the money we deserve here.
Yeah.
Or that we believe we deserve.
Right, right.
But, yeah, so we're going to welcome this guy.
Yes.
Definitely. Welcome to Memphis if you come.
Yeah. I doubt he will.
Eat the barbecue. Definitely eat the barbecue.
Do you think he'll come, Josh?
Do I think he will come? I believe there's a good chance of it, yes.
Well, if they pay for his plane ticket and they pay for his room and board and all that kind of stuff.
They said it was all expense paid.
Yeah. Well, then he's
there's no reason for him not to.
Right. He's just as good as here.
Yeah.
So, welcome.
All right, I think that's about it.
I believe that is.
That is it.
We've newsed ourselves to death.
Yes, we pretty much have.
And it's getting chilly out here. I know we always complain about the cold, but...
Well, you know, it's the fall. It's getting colder.
Yeah, we're in the south, and we're not used to that.
Yeah, we love the warmer weather down here.
I don't know about loving it, but yeah, we enjoy it a little bit more.
Well, we love it for about 1 month, and then it gets to be 100 billion degrees outside.
It's like we want to be cold again.
Yeah. And 100% humidity with no rain.
Right.
Yes, I would actually rather be in the desert with the super hot and low humidity.
Yeah. But that's our show, everybody. I hope you liked it. Please comment again.
Yes,
please
comment.
Nobody's listening to us, so I don't know why we say it.
No, but eventually someone will.
Hey, yeah, I hope so.
Hey, guy in Nottingham, UK, comment, please.
Yes,
wherever you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I saw you on the website's map thing.
Okay.
You listened to it twice.
So you're stalking people now.
Well, I got to keep track of everything.
So you're gonna like... turn some of our listeners away because they think you're gonna try to find them on their on your map.
Oh, it's already there. The map, I didn't make it. It's part of the podcast system.
Okay. Well, I hope you all enjoyed it. Shut up, Josh. Please comment.
Please comment.
Yes, comment.
We need to know what the crap we're doing right and what we're doing wrong.
Yes.
We want to make it in the top 10.
And if you hate it,
in our category.
If you hate anything, just leave a hate mail thing, okay? We don't care.
Yeah.
See y'all in episode 7.
Have a good one. Man.
chicks never got nothing nice to say, man. You know, the one thing I notice about critics, man, is critics never ask me how my day went. Well, I'ma tell them. Yesterday my dog died. A hawk tied a hoe, tied her in the bow. Said next time you blow up, try to spit a flow. You wanna criticize, dog, try a little more. I'm so tired of the socket blow, fire in the hole. I'm fired up, so fire up the lighter in the drone. Better hold on a little tighter, here I go. Flow's tighter, hot-headed as Ghost Rider. Cold-hearted as Spider-Man, throwing a spider in the snow. So you better get glowing and flow rider inside of a low rider with no tires in the hole. Why am I like this? Why is winter cold? Why is it when I talk I'm so biased?